proceed with the next case, which is Tepashun, Tepashun, whatever it is, versus Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Mr. Tuquera.
Good morning, counsel.
I'm sorry.
Your Honor, this case is about the decision of the immigration judge to deny asylum to Mr. Henoch, who's an Eritrean, Ethiopian-born, but Eritrean citizen. At a full asylum hearing, the judge determined that for the most part, the testimony of Mr. Henoch is consistent, is believable. However, he did not think that it was sufficiently detailed to establish his claim. Now let's talk about what the evidence was. There's no question about the fact that there was evidence that Mr. Henoch belonged to the EPLF. He joined as early as 1989. His father was a member. He was in armed combat between 1989 and 1991, and that's part of the record. He joined the EPLF because of the ideals of the organization at the time. They were seeking to fight for Eritrean liberation from Ethiopia. He became disappointed with the EPLF. He became disoriented with what he thought the original objectives were and what seems to have been a shift in focus of the organization. And because of that, he engaged in speaking engagements. He spoke in public places. He spoke in churches. He spoke at sports organizations. He had several meetings. They tried to convince younger people that this isn't what it was about. We gave our lives to fight this war because we thought it was about the liberation of our people.
But how important is it that he was not focusing on where exactly he was speaking? The IJ and the government attaches some importance to the fact that he doesn't say it was in this venue on this particular date to this particular audience.
Well, first, I don't even think it is important at all. So long as they're not disputing the fact that, well, he was held for 2 weeks in a police station, he was subjected to mistreatment, and then ultimately he went to prison for 17 months. There's no question about the fact that in this entire period he was in the custody of the government, and whatever mistreatment he suffered in that period occurred in the custody of the government by the agents of the government. Now, another thing you would find is the government says, well, was he subjected to electric shock or was he just beaten with an electric wire? He did testify that he was subjected to electric shock. But even if he wasn't subjected to electric shock, the Board of Immigration Appeals clearly admitted that the nature of the mistreatment he testified about is sufficiently detailed. But they do not think that his pre-mistreatment activities were detailed enough. Now, they go on to explain in addition and say, well, and part of the problem is, why would he have gone back to join the ELF if that would really have put him and his family in danger? Well, the only life people knew in this environment at this time was the life they were living. It was a life of fighting. And he actually, the exact reason why the BIA believed he shouldn't have joined the ELF is actually the reason why he joined the ELF. He said he believed what the EPLF was doing was wrong.
Can I just say, it looks to me like what the Board of Immigration Appeals is saying is, just to get it down to the legal tests, that yes, we believe that he suffered, I think, very significant mistreatment, but has he sufficiently shown the link between that mistreatment and one of the categories recognized in order to make him a refugee, the on account of political opinion? It really is his categories.
Absolutely, okay. Your Honor. He has shown that he was a member of the EPLF. Even if for the sake of argument that wasn't a case, he has shown that he objects to the position of the ruling authority. He has shown that he's a dissenter. We had an expert who testified extensively that membership is even diminished when you're talking about just the thought that you dissent to the EPLF was enough reason. Their purpose was to crush every possible dissent. His dissension to them was based on the fact that he thought they were leading the country in a wrong direction. They were leading the country in an unnecessary war when the war broke out again in 1998. There's no question about that in the record. So that actually assists, it takes away the argument that he did not clearly identify his membership, which we believe was clearly identified in the scheme of things.
Well, but there's just all this business about the initial, the name of the party, right? The
Yes, and that, I'm sorry, I don't know if it was because I was listening to the previous argument about the hair split issues that arise in determining credibility findings. An expert testified that PFDJ was EPLF reconfigured. People still continue to refer to it. In this country, some people still refer to the Republican Party by the same name it used to be. People refer to the Democratic Party by the name it used to be. At least in my country, people refer to the government by names that they were previously known as. The expert clearly testified that even in that country, people still say EPLF. The fact that they were reconfigured and changed their name, they did not change their objectives, they did not change the people, and they did not change the methods of their operation. So really, clearly, I don't think that was an issue. And if we're talking about foot soldiers, we're not talking about high-ranking officials here. He was just a foot soldier. What would he call the organization? The same thing that he had known the organization to be. And I don't think that raised the material type of inconsistency that is contemplated by the asylum jurisprudence. I guess the whole point here is in evaluating evidence, because the whole nature of asylum is that there's a serious duty here. And that is the duty of whether we're returning people to sometimes what could be certain death. And so the adjudicatory process really would be, let us evaluate this evidence and see if we can find support for this claim, not evaluate this evidence to see reasons why we can exclude this person. And I think that those were the real issues as you look at this case. And that presents a great difficulty for the asylum applicants. The very nature of asylum is you're running. So the kind of material and testimony that the immigration judge was expecting Mr. Henoch to produce in court over and beyond what he had produced here is absolutely lacking. There's just no way to find it. There's only one way to object to a government in the countries and in these environments, and that is by speaking up against the government. You can take up armed conflict against the government anyway. The only way was to publicly make your opinion known, be a dissenter, refuse to fight a battle, and those were the things he did.
Could I just ask you a point of clarification? You're referring to him as Mr. Henoch. Is that the correct thing? The record shows Henoch Tesfahun.
Tesfahun is his last family name, but
that's his
prefers to be where he
likes
say
to
that
be called Mr. Henoch.
Yes.
Okay.
I have one question. In an effort of being released from prison, then he went out and engaged in this, talks in various places and schools. Is that right?
Yes,
after imprisonment. And then when he found they went to his grandmother's house and, in effect, looking for him and sort of a threat because of this speech. Then he left the country, right?
Yes.
Now, I know in the record there's this very slight discussion about whether that's a contradiction, because it's trying to say the only way, as you just said, that he can do anything is to stand up and protest, and that's sort of like a freedom fighter, and, give me liberty or give me death or something. But when this threat came up, then he left. And I think there was some question to say, look, all he has to do is not do this anymore, and they're going to leave him alone.
Well, Your Honor, that definitely is not the case. If he would have stopped doing that, in any case, they did tell the grandmother that, we will come back and get him.
If he keeps talking.
Whether he kept talking or not. That's he has already been told on one occasion that we regard you as a traitor. He's a dissenter. And the question about whether he could remain in the country and be safe, it's completely eliminated if you consider both the affidavit testimony and the oral testimony of the expert. It's just the perception that you dissent was enough ground for you to be crushed in that environment. So there was really no question. It was a lose-lose situation for him to remain. Whether he stopped talking or not, if he remained, then he was going to at least definitely be ultimately arrested, and he would have been subjected to additional mistreatment, if not death. Now, the question is, even if there was a chance, now, he believed in the fight, and his understanding was that, I've got to advance this fight to another environment. He continued to Sudan, but the insecurity in Sudan was what actually made him leave Sudan. He has continued to meet with other ELF members out of here in the United States because they have a certain belief of the ideology they're propagating. So there was really no question for him about whether he could stop what he believed in.
Okay. I guess you want to reserve the
remaining. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Casey?
Thank you. Morning, Your Honors. My name is Patrick Casey. I'm a senior attorney with the Department of Justice. I represent the Attorney General in this matter. We respectfully request that the court deny this petition for asylum and withholding of removal. This petition for asylum and withholding of removal has been reviewed by an immigration officer who met with the petitioner, discussed his application, and referred the matter to an immigration judge. The immigration judge listened to the testimony and reviewed all the evidence presented with petitioner represented by his counsel, and through an interpreter provided, an official court interpreter provided by the court. There was a full and fair review.
Well, there's always, you know, the cases don't get here without the process that you're describing. And the problem with the immigration judge's opinion is that he has seized on certain things, such as the difference between EPLF and the later name of the very same group. Actually, this is true all over Central and Eastern Europe, where groups that used to be called the Communist Party, you know, have metamorphosed, and they're now the Social Democrats or whatever they like to call themselves, or all kinds of names they take. And in informal conversation, people know perfectly well who they are, and they still call them the Communist Party. And so the immigration judge has seized on that point as well as others, and yet at the same time doesn't take issue with the severe punishment meted out to Mr. Hinoki by the government. Being put in prison for 17 months is pretty significant, and also seems to think that although he's speaking out, we want to know, you know, was it, you know, in this city on this day, even though that's pretty irrelevant, isn't it? If he's being punished by the government, then the next question is on account of what? He's a supporter of this political group, and that's one of the categories recognized by the law.
That's correct, Your Honor. The immigration judge looked at the totality of the circumstances in this case. And based on the substantial evidence of the record, the petitioner, the immigration judge, determined that the petitioner failed to establish by preponderance of the evidence that he met his burden in this case.
Well, but let's look for a moment at the board's final paragraph. What the board says is, although the respondent's testimony concerning his mistreatment was detailed, the respondent's testimony concerning his anti-government activities which led to such mistreatment and even such activities after his release is extremely abbreviated and lacking in detail. And then they say, which strikes me as just amazing, we're the United States after all, also significantly, they think, the respondent had no valid explanation as to why he would join ELF or continue his ELF activities after his release from jail, thereby placing himself and his family at risk. You know, I feel like saying, you know, what about George Washington? You know, he was putting his family at risk too, and yet there was a political goal that was bigger than him, and he obviously risked his life for many years to achieve that. And, you know, you could use Nelson Mandela as an example, or countless other people who know that it's risky, but what else do you do other than give up? It's an astounding statement for an American board to make.
Well, I think that in this case, Your Honor, the board looked at the entire record and looked at the judge's analysis, which was reasonable.
But if they give a dumb reason for coming to the conclusion they came to, if they give a reason that just shows a complete lack of appreciation for the very reason why the statute recognizes political opinion as one of the grounds on which you might be a refugee, it doesn't give confidence in the board's bottom line.
I think the problem here is this, Your Honor. What the board said was, we agree completely with the rational analysis provided by the immigration judge below, looking at the entire record. In addition, the board determined that, based on the facts of this case, now the application was that he was persecuted for his association with the ELF, but his testimony was clear that he did not join the ELF until he was released from prison. In fact, he admitted that he was not a member of the ELF and denied that he was a member of the ELF until he was 6 months after he was released from prison.
But he gives a fuller explanation of all of that in the expert's affidavit, which is actually quite detailed about all this, more than you ever wanted to know about Eritrea, is something that explains how these political parties evolved and how the viewpoints evolved. And so maybe he formally associates himself with ELF eventually, but he's been a dissenter from the governing party. Now he finds maybe the most effective group to channel that through is ELF.
That's what we don't know. And that's what the immigration judge and the board found out. We don't really know. He has not met his burden of proof. Pardon me, Your Honor?
Let me ask you something. How, even allowing for such a problem, how can we review the IJ's decision if there are no express credibility findings? He didn't explain why it was reasonable to demand cooperation and explain why the petitioner's explanation for failing to supply cooperation was inadequate. How can you expect us to review that?
This
made a credibility finding.
He did not, Your Honor.
No, he
credibility
didn't.
is a fact that this
although
immigration
his concerns and those expressed by the BIA do tend to center around the implausibility and lack of veracity in the narrative, but he specifically made no credibility finding.
That's correct, Your Honor. He has not made a finding of fact that the testimony was credible. And under
the Gonzales decision by this court, has recently and repeatedly criticized the IJs for their failure to make clear findings of credibility.
That's
and you're continuing the pattern here and asking us to buy it.
Your Honor, what I'm asking you
to buy a pig in a poke. That's exactly what you're doing. It seems like you're shoving these things down the horn so fast that you can get them out of the way without giving a logical, reasonable decision for us to review.
I think, Your Honor, to answer your question, the immigration judge clearly set forth the background information in this case, the claims that were presented. He set forth the evidentiary standards based on the decisions of the Board of Immigration Appeals prior to the Gonzales decision, and he also put forth a reasoned analysis of the case. I think that the decision of the immigration judge and the concurring decision by the board is consistent with this court's decision in Lee versus Gonzales in March of this year. We note that the inconsistencies in this record are not trivial. The immigration judge's opinion is reasoned. There's a rational analysis of the evidence. And in both the immigration judge's opinion and the board's opinion, they both found that parts of the testimony were not detailed. And also in both of those opinions, there's no manifest errors of fact or logic. I understand that it would be easier for this court to make a decision.
Not easier. It is required. You're asking us to operate in a vacuum without a good record.
I'm asking you to understand that this decision made before Gonzales and before the Lee decision was consistent with the board's law. And
but
also,
you're forgetting that the statutes do actually provide for appellate review. It's limited. It's not tremendous. It's substantial evidence review. But I think Judge Coffey's point is that courts of appeals have always said, before we can meaningfully discharge our part in this whole function, we need something concrete to review. We can't just have, trust us, we're the board. You know, the Congress should have repealed judicial review for this, too, if that's what it wanted.
And I think that the record is clear, that there's no finding of credibility, and there is nothing in the record that compels this court to reverse those decisions, even without a definitive finding of credibility. Credibility is a fact.
Who asked this man to bring proof of his employment when he had to run out of his house to get out of there to escape?
Well, in this case,
he should have gone back and got all the documents and carried him across the country as he's escaping.
What we know at this point, Your Honor, to answer your question, is based on this record, we do not know that this man is who he says he is. He has not proven by preponderance his identity.
Why didn't he make that simple credibility finding? That
I don't know
who this man is.
I think it was not necessary. He said he did not meet his burden of proof, that he did not meet his burden of establishing his membership in the political party, which he was a member from 89 to 99, the EPLF. He did not establish his membership in the ELF after he was released from prison. He did not establish his injuries. He did not establish his flight. And he did not establish any impacts from his injuries.
Expectation of the corroboration of injuries, physical and mental, sustained in prison are misplaced because this man recovered at his own parents' home. So where is he going to have those records?
Your Honor, one of the I see I'm out of time.
Finish, answer the question.
If he had obtained any medical...
At home, he said.
Well, he said he went to his grandmother's house.
Yes.
And he received some herbs. But he's never sought since 2000 any type of medical treatment. In fact,
well,
his testimony...
Need, what do you go for? You can't go over... You can't even see doctors here, even though when you do need it.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous bringing up a record like this.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Mr. Becerra.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd respond quickly to whether there was evidence in the record to establish some of the issues the immigration judge had a problem with. And I think you rightly determined that if you didn't make a finding, there's no reason to begin to second-guess the fact that he had a problem with that. As far as his identity, he had Mr. Hanuke testifying right there in front of him, saying the things that he believes happens in Eritrea. What he was testifying to right there in court is consistent with the country reports, consistent with what the expert said. And here's a gentleman saying, I ran away because they were in my grandmother's home. There was no other way for me to establish who I am to you by bringing material from Eritrea. Now, the government also claims that he was persecuted before he joined the ELF. Yes, that is true. He was a dissenter within the EPLF, and that's why he went to jail. He was treated as a traitor. It was only after he came out of jail that he realized, I don't want any part of this organization. I don't want any part of it because I do not believe in the ideologies it is propounding at this point. And that's when he went to join the ELF, which is also an organization that the EPLF was against. Thank you, Your Honor. I see my time is up.
All right, thanks. This case will be taken under advisement.